Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, Relationship Wednesday. It's the 3rd of May, 2017. We're right smack dab in the middle of the week, and boy, do we have something to talk about when it comes to relationships today. There's always something that we can think about to add to our relationships and to add to the people in our lives that maybe we don't want to hurt people, we don't want to be hurt ourselves, but yet when we are in a relationship, we are going to come to a day when we have an argument. And during an argument, all of a sudden, it feels like the least safe place in the world to be. And then people start blaming each other and pointing fingers and saying they're not accusing each other, but yet they are. And then where do you stop? And can you ever take back what you say when you're really, really upset? And would you rather be a couple that's fighting against each other or with each other? So, of course, there's the asking of Christ in all of this, and what should we do, and how do we regain trust, and what happens to us after the argument once we've settled and everything's been said and we're trying to figure out what it is that we want from each other. And really the question is, I know it's a hard thing to do when people are upset, but what side are you on and whose side are you on? And really there's only one side in an argument, and that's the relationship side. It's us fighting for the relationship, and we're trying to figure out how to have this relationship even though we're right now at odds. Because in the beginning of an argument, and I just had this happen only 2 weeks ago, where there was an argument, and the person knew that her partner was going to say things that she will never be able to get out of her head. However, and for whatever reason, she knew just from past conversations, he's going to say something that may destroy the relationship. But in her mind, she decided that, okay, I'm upset right now, I am going to send an email, the old classic email. But there was a lot of wisdom behind her decision, because she put the issue out, which was a big issue, and she put it out on the table, and she let him absorb it and answer. And his first emails back were really kind of just like, well, no thanks, I'll pass. Well, no thanks, I don't want to do this, and just wanted to break it off. But then upon thinking about it, 2 or 3 days later, their email started getting to the core issue. And he kept saying to her, well, you won't let me talk to you. And she was saying back, we need to talk like this, because when you talk at me, I can't respond fast enough. And she was smart enough to know that this is what was going on with her. So this helped them repair the relationship, and they did, after days of writing back and forth and I want to say eagerly waiting for the other one to write back, it became part of her way of communicating and being able to say in a safe place, because she didn't want to destroy the relationship. She just wanted to solve some of the issues, because they were game changers. This is the same couple of the girl that got hung up on, but this is how she dealt with it, because she hadn't had this kind of reaction from him, and all she did was play a joke on him, an April Fool's joke, and she got hung up on, and then whatever pursued, they ended up breaking up and then getting back together. And the issue was at first pointing fingers. And it was like a great offense is better than any defense. So she gets a call after she gets hung up on why she didn't call back to apologize for the stupid joke, as opposed to the fact that no one ever noticed she got hung up on. It was never mentioned. She kept mentioning it. He kept not hearing it. And he kept saying, so you tried to freeze me out. So he came with like a full-on arsenal at her. And she kept repeating herself and repeating herself. But until 2 or 3 weeks later, they really didn't even get to why and how all that happened. But they did realize after everyone got their ugly out, put it on the table, threw it at each other, threw up on each other. And finally she said, okay, we can talk now. Because by then, the respect rose. But it took it a while to get there. So imagine if they actually talked and she did not have the foresight to go into through one way of communicating through writing. Because you can reread the writing. You can go back and look at what that person said. You can hear their responses. You can see why she's saying what she's saying without you injecting or cutting her off or her cutting you off. It's really an interesting foresight to know yourself well enough to know how to communicate in certain times and in different situations in relationships. Arguments are meant to bind you, to grow and deepen your bond, because it's the thoughts that are broken, not the bond. The bond is what you're trying to protect. And if you don't protect it, then the broken thoughts will now have a broken bond. And then what do? Do you just go and find a new person until you hit another snag or that person becomes human again? Or do you stay and figure out why this is happening? It's so easy to run away. But the longer you are with somebody and the greater level of respect that the two of you have for each other, you start to realize over time that you're both on the same side. You're both fighting for a relationship. If one of the two of you needs to be right and needs to put you in your place and needs to make you feel bad and needs to let you feel like, well, okay, this didn't really matter to me, then you have other questions to solve. But when it comes to an argument or an argumentative state of mind, you really have to just in the beginning tell each other, let's fight for our relationship. Let's fight for each other. I don't want you to hurt. I know what you did hurt me, but why were you able to do that to me? What in you crossed that line? And once you hang up on me, what comes after that? If I accept being hung up on, do we swear at each other next? Do we now put each other down? When you said, you know, you gave so-and-so 100 chances before, and now you're bringing my exes and whatever I put up with before as a criteria for this relationship, then what's next? Talk about foresight. If you accept being hung up on, then that person in their mind has that, okay, I can get away with that. But then there's thresholds that build in relationships. You know how over time you say, my God, how did they get there? He's hitting her and he's hitting her and he's hitting her. And then they make up and they have this honeymoon period and that's how they got there. But pay attention to the details. It's not like, oh, he did it. It's okay. He won't do it again. The only way he will not do that again is if you really put your foot down and you guys can see the value of your relationship and that it needs to rise. Every relationship exists so that both of you can rise. If you're not rising and you're not growing and you're hurting each other, that means that you both need to keep repeating that because you don't understand enough how to get yourself out of that situation. But an argument is meant to grow you. It's meant to bind you. It's meant to grow a bond between you. It's meant for you to heal and fix what's inside of you along the way. But if you're not doing that, You're just going to spin in circles. You're going to exhaust yourselves. But truly the biggest question of anybody's relationship in this time, especially in our world the way it is now, is making sure that nobody wins the argument, that the relationship wins the argument. Don't try to put the other person down because you feel like you don't want to be wrong. If everyone has rules before they actually have an argument, like, hey, you know what? We may disagree one day, but if we disagree, let's agree that we're together, that we don't want to hurt each other, because you may never need to have the results of that conversation go into play. Because the fact that you discussed it when you were both happy with each other reminds you how little you want to hurt each other. Being in a relationship isn't about just having someone, owning someone, possessing someone. This is my man, this is my girl, this is my house, this is our car. It's about two people making all that other stuff work. If it weren't for the two of you, you don't need any of the stuff that's around you. So to remember that you guys are building a world that you're both living in, a world that you both want to come home to, that you're happy to work for, that you may have kids with and you involve them. You start buying pets and you start growing a civilization around this relationship, around this love. And I've seen so many people just forget what they're grateful for in that relationship. And they start looking at what's missing, who's missing, why they're missing, why it's missing. Oh, he doesn't do this. And we focus on the one thing that's not getting done. And we do not look at anything else. The fact that they're providing, the fact that they're there, that they're helping us. There's a couple that I was working with that have been married for 35 years, and she ended up with a problem with alcohol, and she got herself in a little legal trouble, and now she is in like a rehab for almost a full year of time. And her husband bailed her out of jail, got her help, took care of everything that needed to be taken care of for her, to the point where the children were very upset with him for helping her because they feel that he was hurting her. In the meantime, she's in probation, and every week he goes to see her. And every week he gets blamed for what she's going through, as though she had nothing to do with it. And I said, well, why do you keep going? Because you're actually hurting her growth more than you're helping her. Because if you're out of the way and she cannot see you, she cannot blame you. All she can do is blame herself. And then after she blames herself and beats herself up, she will start to grow a sense of compassion for herself that, hey, you know what? I'm the one who got myself here. Whether my husband's in my life or not, I'm the one who drank. I'm the one who bought it. I'm the one who lived with the results of it. I never really paid attention to all the vacations we went on and to the house that we have and the food that we have and the children that we have and the cars that we have and living in a nice area. I never was grateful for anything. So in the same time that I let him know maybe it's not a good idea for you to go, for you or her, you need to heal as well. You need to catch up to yourself as well. He got a call the next morning from her, saying that exact same thing that her therapist told her, that maybe they should take a weekend off. That maybe, just maybe, it would work better that she didn't see him, because she knew inside, but not facing herself, was her goal. She kept saying, I don't need to be here. They've got me in here too long. I don't need to be missing my family and my house and all of this and this time. But what she's missing is that everybody else needs to heal as well. And the only way all of them can begin to heal, begin to see each other, begin to want to be together is by being apart. Because then they come back to each other by choice, as opposed to feeling like they have to be there. Well, we were married 35 years. Let's make it 36. Let's make it 37 by taking care in year 35. Arguments are not designed to break people apart. If you were to think of them in the bigger picture, you think, wow, I'm glad now I know that about this person. I know how they feel. I know what they're doing. I know what to expect. And let's see how we are in recovery. Let's see how we are when we grow towards feeling better about each other again, instead of just seeing what each other does wrong, why he does this, or the fact that he even just walked by in the room and you just have to dump your anger on him or her. It doesn't work anymore. We already have so much pressure that where we live, the people we choose to live with, we need to know we can turn arguments into discussions. We need to know things like, I know this person doesn't mean that. They just don't feel good right now. Let's not talk about this in this moment. Let's just give ourselves 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Let's go on a walk together and talk this out. One of the most important things when it comes to arguments with any couple is truly not to wait until you go to bed and you're both ready to sleep and you're both tired and you're both already on to tomorrow. That is so much pressure to put on another person. But before you go to bed, you can say things like, hey, you know what? I know you're really upset about this, and I am too. I'm a little bit even more upset that we haven't had an opportunity to speak on it. But what we can do, and what I wish we can do, is maybe take some time tomorrow after we get home from work, before we have dinner together, to talk about this. And if we don't finish then, maybe we can finish the next day. Because then you're giving whatever issue you have its place. You're giving it a home to be paid attention to. You're giving it time for both of you to reflect on what happened instead of just shooting off and living with the details of that. It's amazing when you can put perspective on things that we normally would say that's anger, or that's wrong, or that person did that wrong, and just say, you know what, I know we're not happy right now. We're just not happy about it. But the good news is that when you do that, the other person now is building a safety net to be with you. They say, hey, you know what? Even with what happened, she just came to me and said, you know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about it. Maybe not right now, because now you hear in her voice she still loves you. She still accepts you. She's still in the relationship. She just knows that this glitch does not define whether or not the two of you are going to be together. Imagine someone coming to you that way when you think you've done something wrong. That breath of fresh air that you get when you feel like you still have a chance to make it. When you're not like demonized, and then when you're good, you're great, and when you're not good, you're just thrown off the whole ladder. There's no pedestal, there's no nothing. Because that kind of stuff is volatile. You can't be great and then not great. You can just be you and her feelings. Her just saying, let's do that tomorrow. Let's do that in 2 days and in 3 days, and let's keep talking about it until we resolve it. But let's not pull off the whole night. We both have a lot to do. We both have to go to work. It's not fair to either one of us. It's not fair for the kids to hear everything. It's an interesting dynamic when you can talk about something that is so hard to put on the table and you just minimize its strength. You say, you know what, that really did upset me. I just want you to know that. But I know we can get through this. I know we'll work on this together. Together. I know that's not easy for you to confront things. This kind of gives us both a pass to breathe through this and know we'll still be okay, even if we never talk about it. Of course you will after conversations like that. Because now you can say, hey, you know what? I really had to think about it, and it really isn't that big of a deal that I was angry. What was the big deal was I disrespected our bond by hanging up on you. I will not do that again. Had I known you would have reacted this way. But thank God you reacted this way. Otherwise, we would have just taken ourselves down a road of repetition. And I know that sounds like a lot of insight to have. But trust me, when your brain is on an even keel and you talk like that, you cannot go back and scream at that person or put them down. Because now you see them as having feelings that aren't attacking you. So if somebody's not attacking you, what happens? You don't have to attack back. You're free to just say the truth. And I know that's a novel idea sometimes in an argument, because if you say the truth, you feel vulnerable and you feel like you'll be taken advantage of. So many times I'll stand there and say the truth and you'll just get totally railroaded. Like, yeah, I know, but you did this and you, but I didn't know I was doing it. Thank you for telling me. I knew you didn't like the joke, but at least acknowledge that you hung up the phone, because that lack of control, especially for a first time, to go from never having an issue to that, that's what concerns me. The fact that it came out in a hung up call probably is our best case scenario. Do I want to wait to see what comes after that? Do I get put down? Do I get minimized in an argument? In a disagreement? And if you can take the word argument out of your vocabulary and replace it with disagreement, you have a completely different energy around the conversation you're going to have. Getting back to what matters. It's always the relationship. Winning the argument takes away from your relationship. You're not on top of the other person in terms of energy or better or worse or whatever it is you think you need to be. Keeping a balance between your two souls gives both of your souls a chance to grow. If one needs to control the other, you will just stay in that cycle forever. The couple with the alcoholism problem, it's all about control. She is still controlling the relationship from her probationary period for an entire year. And by him continuing to go, he is allowing that to continue. Their pattern has not changed. And if their pattern hasn't changed, and she doesn't believe she belongs there, then she's not admitting yet that she has an issue with alcohol. And if she's not admitting that, what's going to happen when she comes out? So the best way for them to fight for their relationship in this time is for them to not see each other so they can heal enough to know what they're even coming back to without the repetition of the old familiar feeling of, well, I will just say this to my husband, I will get my way, I'll get rid of him when he goes to work, and I'm just going to do my thing. So this time that she has to heal should be used to heal. It's amazing how it's so clear from the outside, but when you're in it and you're used to the routine and you're comfortable with the habit, even though it's as dysfunctional as it could be, that familiarity brings you a sense of comfort. And to keep going and getting beat up weekend after weekend after weekend, he finally came to me and said, I can't take this anymore. I don't think I'm going to be able to be here once she gets out. I'm going to give her a chance. I'm going to try to make it work, but I don't think she's going to make it. And I had to look at him and say, you don't actually want her to make it, do you? You want to leave. You don't want to be there anymore. I could see it. I could see it in your face, but you're so scared to say it. I said, but you have to be able to say it to stay. You have to be able to see yourself as a person. Not just somebody's punching bag, but as a person. So that you can see her as a person. I don't want you to just run away because you're not solving what's going on inside of you. What's going on inside of you is your job to pay attention to. It's yours to take care of. Why were you like an accomplice to this the whole time? How did you enable this to happen? What part of you said it was okay for 35 years? And if she didn't get in trouble with the law, you guys would still be doing what you were doing 6 months ago. That's what you need to pay attention to. Now the only relief you're feeling, the only relief you have is that she was forced out of your life and everyone now knows your issues. And you're kind of off the hook on having to explain to anyone or live in your own private hell over it. But leaving isn't going to help you or help her right now. If you don't even know why you're leaving and you're just running away and you're going to leave her with the wreckage. Because that wreckage is going to follow you too in her wrath because she's going to be angry. Especially when you have a lack of accountability. Especially when that exists. When you have that lack of accountability in any relationship, when there is a breakup, it's not a good breakup. There's blaming. There's trying to take that person for everything. But if you can go and say, living with you has been one of the most difficult things I have had to encounter in my lifetime. More than half of my lifetime, I was here, so I don't know how to be anywhere else. I don't know if I can. But I'm willing to try. If you're not willing to see your role in your own life, that's how important it is that we both work as partners and it's not one of us controlling the other. It may not be a pattern we can break, but maybe with help we can try to figure out how we got here. And then we can make a decision. That's giving the relationship all the respect that you can give it without trying to win and run. Because you're not going to be any happier anywhere else if you didn't clean up where you were. You guys, I'm on 10 seconds. I'll see you tomorrow for Dream Theme Thursday. I'll see you. I love you. Goodbye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show.